Okay, we're going to begin with the Gemara on the top of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is debating or discussing the psukim in Parshat Pinchas. After the census in Pinchas, remember that there is a census in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, B'Shana Shenit, in the second year. There's also a census that's done at the end of Sefer Bamidbar and Parshat Pinchas. So one census is those that basically left Mitzrayim coming into the Midbar. And another census for those that are exiting the Midbar, going into Eretz Yisrael. And after that census in Parshat Pinchas, it says, Ve'yedaber Shem Moshe Limor, Le'ela techalek ha'aretz b'nachala mispar shemot. So from Le'ela, it makes it sound like the people or the census that you just took, they are going to be the divisors of the land. The Rav tarbe nachalato, v'lama'at tamit nachalato. According to their numbers, that will be the distribution of the land in Israel. Ish lefi pikudav yutan nachalato. Each person, according to their enumeration, will get his nachala. Ach, bigoral yechalek et aretz. There is not exactly a distribution, but a goral. There's some sort of lottery system. The shmot matot avutam yinchalu. According to the names of their fathers, according to the shevet, their household, they will be divided up. And then again it says, apia goral, techalek nachlato ben rav lema'at. According to the goral, it will be divided up, whether they're a large number or whether they are a small number. So over there, the goral seems to ignore the fact of size and census and population. So we have to balance between all of these psukim, and that's going to lead to the different machlokot or opinions that we have today. Tanan keman da'amar, like we said yesterday, the Mishnah is according to the one who says, Yotzei Mitzrayim nitchalka ha'aretz. According to the census that was done in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, those that left Mitzrayim are the ones who inherited the land. The land is divided amongst those people, amongst that first census. So that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is authored by such a position. We saw that because of the way that Benot Tzlafchad inherited. They inherited three portions. As we saw there, they got a portion of their father, Tzlafchad. They also got a portion of Chefer. And in Chefer's portion, they got a double portion because Tzlafchad was the Bechor. Chefer and Tzlafchad were clearly Miyotzei Mitzrayim. Tzlafchad is not Midbar Eharetz because he dies in the Midbar. He dies of whatever sin, which we'll see later on in the Perek, in the Midbar. Given that, he was not Midbar Eharetz. So the only way they could have gotten from their father, as qua their father, is if he was Miyotzei Mitzrayim and inherited Miyotzei Mitzrayim. And that's what the Gemara says, that the Mishnah is clearly according to the one who says that Miyotzei Mitzrayim nitchalka ha'aretz. Now there are going to be two opinions that have that in it. That's why it doesn't say a particular Tana, but rather it just says Stam Yotzei Mitzrayim. One of them is upcoming. The Gemara is going to give it right away. And one will be on the Amud Bet. Titania, Rabbi Shaya Omer, Yotzei Mitzrayim nitchalka ha'aretz. The land was divided amongst those that left Mitzrayim. Shinamar. The Pasuk says, we just read it, Lishmot Matot Abutam Yinchalu. According to their forefathers, according to their households, they will divide up the land. So that goes back to those that left Mitzrayim. Otherwise, why is the household, why are the Batei Avot important? The people going into the land should have inherited the land. The fact that it makes mention of their forefathers is because their forefathers were the ones that actually inherited the land. Elemani Mikayim, then what are you going to do with the Pasuk that seems almost explicit? Le'ele techalek edaretz v'nachala. To these individuals, you will divide up the land. That's the pasuk that comes immediately after the census in Pinchas. So given that, you would assume that it's telling you that those people that were just counted, they're going to be the ones who inherit the land. Le'ele ke'ele. These like those. Lotzi et tefillim. To eliminate those that are subordinate. So over here, subordinate would be those that have not reached age, meaning that they are not at the age of 20. And number two is women who are not included in the Yoshei Ha'aretz. So according to this opinion, Rabbi Ushaya, those that left Mitzrayim were the ones that inherited the land. If they passed away before you entered into Eretz Yisrael, then their children were the inheritors of their parents. Once you have the Yotzei Mitzrayim be the ones that divide up the land, once you go into the land, it doesn't matter the number of individuals, the census of those going into the Eretz. So again, to give a feeling of this, if you have two brothers who left Mitzrayim, one brother has five children and one brother has one child. going into Eretz Yisrael, if those two brothers had passed away in the Midbar, then the one with five children will get one portion that we divided amongst those five children. The other brother will get one portion that will be given to his son. This one child will inherit as much as the five children of the other brother, because they are the Nichnasei Aretz, Baim Aretz. They're not the ones who inherit the land, it's their fathers that inherited the land. Now, the second point is that only their fathers, if they were at the age of 20, when they left Mitzrayim, are inheritors of the land. So that means that there is a possibility that you could have children entering Eretz Yisrael whose parents were less than 20 when they left Mitzrayim, and then they died in the Midbar. Or even if they didn't die in the Midbar, that situation, they would not be amongst those that inherit in Eretz Yisrael, because their parents were not old enough when they were leaving Mitzrayim in order to gain a foothold in Eretz Yisrael in the Yerusha, because Yerusha is limited, let's speak for now, between those of the age of 20 and 60. The Baalei Tosafot will speculate that 60 is not a cutoff, even those above the age of 60 will get it as well, but you have to be at minimum an age of 20. So that means if when they were leaving Mitzrayim, they were below the age of 20, they would not get, and then those going into Eretz Yisrael do not get. So there's a possibility, and that's what the Rashbam says, Im lo yelehem shum morish sheyatzah mimitzrayim, they have no bequeather that left Mitzrayim, kohen shelo yelehem av, lo dod va'ach shemetu b'midbar b'lo banim, az lo natnu chelek baretz, eino chanami. There would be people who got no land in Eretz Yisrael according to this, because of the fact that there was nobody old enough at the time that they left Mitzrayim. There is a possibility that if their parent was less than 20 when they left Mitzrayim, that their grandparent was the age of 20. If that's the case, they would inherit through their grandparent, because they would be dividing amongst all those that are going to Eretz Yisrael, their other cousins, they would be dividing up the grandparents' chelik in the Eretz. So they could get it through their grandparent, they could get it through their parent, but if there's nobody who left Mitzrayim who was over the age of 20, there's also a possibility that they would get no land going into Eretz Yisrael. That's the view of the Rashbam. We'll see it later on. The Gemara will discuss how we know this, but in the Mishnah, the Rashbam noted for us what the Gemara is going to say, which is that they were considered to be muhzakim in the Aretz. There's no actual chalukah to those that left Mitzrayim. But based on what we're saying here, the chalukah to the Aretz looked back to that census, and based on that census, it divided up the land. But those individuals were considered to be muhzakim in the land, because that's how the Benot Slavchad got the double portion in their grandfather's portion, Chefer, because if he was not muhzak in the Aretz, then they wouldn't get a double portion, because a Bechor does not get Bera'oi Kimuchzak. So for that reason, they're considered to be as if they had the land themselves, even though it was never distributed to them, it's never handed to them. And we'll see, the Gemara will bring other psukim to bolster this idea that they were the holders of the land, or the ones who took the Nachala. The Rashbam explains, let's see, at the Tfalim, to reference to those that were, you'd say, Mitzrayim, were underage. On that end, the Rebbeinu Gershom says it is the Ktanim, Shenichnasu La'aretz, Shein Chukim Land. That those that were underage going into the land, they didn't get a portion because they were under the age of 20. So there are different ways to look at the Otsiyat Tefillim to tell you that the underage 20 were affected. Whether that means the people leaving Mitzrayim didn't get a portion because they were under 20, or does that mean that the Nichasei La'aretz didn't get the portion of the Yotzei Mitzrayim because they're under 20 now? The truth is that it could be both. That both of them could have impact, and in that way, someone could end up with a situation which they have no Yerusha. That's one opinion. Rabbi Yonatan Umer, on the other hand, Rabbi Yonatan says, Lebaye aretz nechaka aretz. To those that entered into Eretz Yisrael, the land was divided up. Shenemar, it's obvious, based on what the psukim are saying here, La'ela techalek aretz benachala b'mispar shemot. Those that were in this census in Pinchas, La'ela, to them, you're going to divide up the land. So you take that literally. What are you going to do with the continuation in the next pasuk, which says that they get it based on the shmot matot avutam inchalu, based on their forefathers, their batei avot? So mishuna nachala zo mikol nachalot shebeolam. This nachala was different than any other inheritance or bequeathal of property that you've ever had. Shekol nachalot shebeolam. Anywhere else, chayim yoshim meitim. The ones that are alive inherit those that passed away. Those that passed away are bequeathing the property to those that remain after them. Bikan, meitim yoshim chayim. Over here, those that had passed away will inherit those that are alive, or those that are alive are going to bequeath to those that passed away. Amarabi, emsholcha mashal. I'll give you a parable, I'll give you a way to understand this. What is this similar to? You have two brothers that are koanim. They lived in a single city. One of them has one son. And the other one has two sons. Their children went to the goren in order to collect truma. One who has one child takes one portion. He takes two portions. You have three children in the Goren. Each one of them is taking a portion as a Kohen. So now in totality, they have three portions. And then the children, when they come back home, they give it to their parents. And then the brothers split it evenly. That's the Mashal. It's difficult to understand the Mashal. And once you come up with an understanding of the Mashal, then you have to apply that to the Chalukat Haaretz. So we'll start with the Rashbam's approach. The Rashbam says that these two brothers were, the brothers had a pact, a partnership, that they would always divide up whatever truma that they received, they would divide up evenly between them. So these two brothers have this partnership. Their children go out and collect truma. One has more children. So the one with more children ends up with more truma because each one takes a portion. The one with the larger number of children then takes a larger portion. But since they have a partnership, when it gets back to the brothers, the fathers, then they split it evenly. That means that if they went out to the Goren, and the one with two children took two portions, the one with one child took one portion, you have three portions. They bring it back to their fathers, the brothers that are Kohanim, and then they divide it evenly. That means that one and a half for each of the brothers. That means that the one child of the one brother gets one and a half portions. And the one brother with two children, his two children will get one and a half together. That means that they'll only get 0.75, three quarters each. So that's the Mashal according to the Rashbam. And based on that, he describes how the land of Israel was divided, which is those that were going into the land of Israel, they got a portion in the land. After they got their portion in the land, it went back to those that left Mitzrayim. Now, the Rashbam over here has a qualification that they have to be over the age of 20. So that means that when they're going into Eretz Yisrael, they have to be in the census in Pinchas, which is above 20. If you're above 20 in that census, you will get a chelik in the Eretz. That chelik that you get will not remain with you. It will return back to those that were found in the census in the beginning of Bamidbar, those that left Mitzrayim. Once it goes back there, you redistribute it based on that census, and then you give it back to the Nichnasei Laaretz, those that go into the land of Israel. So, in similar fashion to what happened here by the Kohanim, in an instance where you have two brothers that were Yotzei Mitzrayim, Reuven and Shimon, both over the age of 20. They have children. Reuven has 5 children. Shimon has 10 children. So you have here a 15 lots of land, and they're going into Eretz Yisrael. When they're entering into Eretz Yisrael, they're all over the age of 20. And so now you have 15 portions of land. But since they are the Bayei Aretz, they don't get to keep those portions. They send them back to their fathers, who are the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And it goes back to Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon now distribute between them equally the property of those of Nichnasei Aretz. So here you had 15 lots of land. You send it back to Reuven and Shimon. You split it evenly. They get 7.5 each. So now, when you look at those that are going into the land of Israel, when they redistribute it to their children, then the one who had 10 children, each child will get 3/4 of a portion, 0.75 of a portion now. The one who had 5 children, they will actually get more than a single portion because they're getting 7.5, which is half of the chalukah, over 5. Then 7.5 divided by 5 is 1.5. They'll each get 1.5 chelakim in the aretz. So it'll turn out that the distribution is based on those that entering the land, but then it's reallocated based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim. That's the view of the Rashbam. The Rabbeinu Gershom over here gives a slight nuance in the explanation of the Mashal, and he says that it's a case where Shnei Kohanim Achim She'adayin Lo Chilku B'Nechsei Abihem. It's a case where you have Kohanim who inherited from their father, and they have yet to divide up the estate. So since they have yet to divide up the estate, all their property is jointly owned. Everything they have is jointly owned in the estate. And that means when they go to collect truma, the truma goes back to the estate. So even when their children go out and collect the truma, when they go up to divide, they have to go back to the estate and then divide up the possessions equally. That's a little bit of a hole in the Rabbeinu Gershom. The Rabbeinu Gershom says that Eitz Machzirim Eitzel Aviem B'Shut Aviem Hov Yachzirim B'Shut Aviem Kanam Aviem B'Yachad B'Shaveh. Since the children, when they went out and collected the truma, gave it back to their fathers, so now that their fathers have it, since they are joint owners or partners in the estate, everything goes into the estate. But it's not necessarily compelling that what the Rabbeinu Gershom says, because what's in the estate is a joint ownership. Things that are outside the estate don't have to fall into that joint property. So that's what causes the division between the Kohanim over here. But both of those, both what the Rabbeinu Gershom says as well as what the Rashbam says, is an artificial imposition of why they divide. Why do the brothers divide up the truma over here? There's no reason, there's no compelling reason that the brothers should have to divide up the truma. According to the Rashbam, it's because they entered into a partnership. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, it's because they didn't split their father's estate. But then how does that apply to our situation over here? Why is it that the brothers have to redivide the property? Where do you see any compelling reason to bring the brothers together? And for that reason, the Baal Tosafot say they don't really understand. Why, according to the Rashbam, do two brothers end up redividing the property? Where do you see that? All you see is that it moves back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and then it comes back to the Baal Yaretz. But what determines that it's the brothers that split it? Who says it can't be the whole Shevet? Who says it can't be all of Klal Yisrael? How do you know what to do with the property of the Nechnesei Laretz when it goes back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim? And so for that reason, the Baalei Tosafot are bothered by this explanation, and they try to figure out how it works. They quote Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash actually says it goes back to Avi Avien. It goes back to the grandfather. The Machzirim Eitzel Avi Avien Rotze Lefresh Adam Sheyatzah Mitzrayim Velo Shnei Banim. So it's like three generations according to Rashi. Somebody left Mitzrayim. He has two sons. And those two sons have three individuals who are entering into Eretz Yisrael. If their grandfather didn't leave Mitzrayim, what's the reason that they have to divide it up equally? So Rashi is at least addressing some of the issue is, why should two brothers have to split whatever their children took when they went into Eretz Mitzrayim? Rashi answers, it's not because it's not two brothers, it was the grandfather that left Mitzrayim, and he's a single individual. So when you pass it back to the grandfather, then you redistribute it to his two sons, and then that is distributed to the children. So according to Rashi, it's understandable why you have to redivide the property, because there's one individual at the top of the pyramid. That's the grandfather. According to the Rashbam, there's two brothers, and there's no compelling reason that forces them to split it evenly between them. If you're talking about a grandfather, then it's understandable, because it goes back to him as a single individual, and then you redivide it to the brothers. That's Rashi's explanation in Chumash, but obviously then you run into a problem with the Mashal. The Mashal only has two generations in it, not three generations in it. So whether Rashi had a different girsa here or a different Mashal is not clear, but that is the deficit in Rashi's explanation. And in addition, the Baalei Tosafot, I don't think it's as compelling, but the Baalei Tosafot also are bothered by the language in the Torah, according to Rashi, which says, L'shmot matot avotam. It shouldn't be L'shmot matot avotam, but rather L'shmot matot avot avotam. It should be according to that. I think you could argue that avot avotam, that's the shmot matot avotam, means the forefathers that left Mitzrayim. Doesn't mean exactly fathers, literally. It means the patriarchs that left Mitzrayim. That's not as compelling a question, but he asked that. So then Tosafot brings two possible solutions. V'nira l'riva. The gzerat hakatuv hu. It is a gzerat hakatuv shemachzirin eitzel avien shechukim otan shnei achim b'shaveh. Afagav d'baal ma'in din kach. Says, you're right. There is no logical reason. There is no compelling reason the brothers should split it over here. So why are they splitting it? Gzerat hakatuv. Gzerat hakatuv is the shmot matot avutam that tells you that according to their households, you will split it. So even though normally brothers wouldn't have any reason to split their Yerusha between them, from here, the gzerat hakatuv is that you must split it between them, and it's because of the contradiction in the psukim. We have to resolve the contradiction. The resolution to the contradiction in the psukim is that the brothers will split it evenly between them. Now, in that way, the mashal makes a lot of sense, because it's exactly the case. There, for every reason, you want to say that they're splitting it by the Kohanim, it's not a reason that is compelling, because that's an artificial imposition. But that's fine. So, to over here, it's an artificial imposition. It's called the gzerat hakatuv. And that's how the Riva explains the division of the property. Now, according to the Riva, and this is what the Balei Tosafot say, is if you do this, or you take this to the nth degree, and you divide it up amongst those that left Mitzrayim, in the end there would be no difference then between those that are leaving Mitzrayim and those that are Nichnasim Laretz. Wouldn't matter how you divide the property. If you say you divide it up amongst those that are going into Eretz Yisrael, and you send it back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and then they divide it up equally, then in the end you'd end up with the same division as if you divided it amongst the people who left Mitzrayim. So the Balei Tosafot say, for that reason, V'yesh Lamar, G'davka Shein Achim Chozrim V'Chokim B'Shaveh. This redivision of the property is limited to brothers. Avalim Einam Achim? Lo. If they're not brothers, then there is no division. V'im Lezeh Tishah Banim Lezeh Achad. If they, one of them has 10 children, the other one has 1. Zenotel tet letachim, zenotel letachechad. Then the one brother has 9 children, they 9 will take 9 portions. And the one brother who has 1 child will take 1 letach. Aval, the man de amar li yotzei Mitzrayim, kulan notlim b'shaveh. According to one who says it goes by the yotzei Mitzrayim, they're going to all take equally. In that case, if it is based on the nichnasei la'aretz, then one would get 9, one would get 1. Because it doesn't go back because these aren't brothers. So in that case, that'll be the difference. When they're not brothers, the Nichnasei La'aretz will get 9 versus 1. The Yotzei Mitzrayim, they would get 4.5 and 4.5 because everything is divided evenly. The other possible nafkamina would be, and the Balei Tosafot don't mention this, is ages. Which is that if someone was underage when they left Mitzrayim, but over the age of 20 when they Nichnasei La'aretz, so that also could have effect on the distribution, as well as who it's passed back to, because you have to be over age of 20 going to Rashbam to pass it back. So there is a possibility in that case to divide or to separate between the two Lishonot. The Riva limits the distribution to the brothers. But then, the Rabbeinu Tam Mifaresh, Shebanim Machzirim Labotehem, Kol Avot Yisrael Chokim B'Shaveh. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no. You know what the din is? The din is that the Ba'el Aretz divided it up. They sent it all back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and they redivided it according to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Doesn't matter brothers, doesn't matter who you are, what's your relationship. The whole thing was done again to Yotzei Mitzrayim. V'nafkamino, ben amandamar Yotzei Mitzrayim, ben amandamar bayaretz, l'nyan tfeilim, which is what I mentioned now, that the difference will be for those that are underage. Shemayu avot b'nei esrim Yotzei Mitzrayim, the fathers were over the age of 20 when they left Mitzrayim. Umeitu b'midbar, and they die in the midbar, and those that enter into the land are under the age of 20, or their daughters, so they get no portion in the land. In this case, if you divide it amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim, then they will get a portion, because their father was over the age of 20 when he left Mitzrayim. But if you divide it amongst the Bayaretz, they won't get anything, because they are underage entering into Eretz Yisrael, or they are a daughter. Or Ipcha, he says they're just the opposite. Im yatzu mimitzrayim tefilim, if they went out of Mitzrayim and they were underage, below a vote, ukeshebal la'aretz, ayu b'nei esrim. Or when they entered into land, they're over 20, or heimo b'neim, they or their children. Then you have the opposite effect, which is the one according to the by the aretz, they will take a portion. According to one who says Yotzei Mitzrayim, they don't get it. But then, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, what does the mashal have to do with? Why are there two brothers of Kohanim? Should we speak two Kohanim in general? Why do the Kohanim have to be brothers? And in addition, he says, "Kashle rivam de lishmot matot abotam ashma achin dafka." To chol makom korim lachim avot. That whenever you say it's brothers, they call them avot. The terminology used in the Torah seems to limit it to brothers. The Balei Tosafot in the end come to the defense of the Rabbeinu Tam and say, maybe according to the Rabbeinu Tam, you can make this plausible if you say it only returns to the Shevet and it doesn't return to all of Klal Yisrael. He says Rabbeinu Tam does not say that. He says Rabbeinu Tam comes up with his own wild answer to deal with this, but I would think maybe according to Rabbeinu Tam, you could redivide it amongst the Shvatim. So that would mean according to Rabbeinu Tam, you would go in, those that were Nichnasei La'aretz would get a portion, and then they would all send it back to their head of their Shevet. And then they'd redivide it amongst the Shevet. So in that way, there'll still be a nafkamina, there'll still be a difference between the one who says that it went divided up the Yotzei Mitzrayim, to the one who says it was divided up the Ba'ei Aretz. Because even according to one who says the Ba'ei Aretz, it's not redivided based on all of Klal Yisrael at the time of Yotzei Mitzrayim, but it's subdivided according to the Shvatim. So here you have 4 different ways to divide up the property according to this Manda Amar, who says it's the Baye Aretz, and then you reverse it back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. We have the Rashbam's approach, which we take it literally. The Baye Aretz get, and then they send it back to the brothers that were there, and the brothers divide it up. We asked over there, why should brothers have to redivide the property? What do brothers have to do with each other? So that the Riva answered was, it's Zera Takatuf. It is Gzeret HaTuv that brothers split it up. We had Rashi's view that it is a grandfather that is dividing up the property, and that's what compels you to divide it up amongst the brothers, because there is a grandfather. We had the Rabbeinu Tam, who viewed it, it was all redivided amongst Klai Yisrael completely. And then we had the Tosafot's emendation of that, who said that, no, not amongst all Klai Yisrael, you redivide it, but amongst the Shvatim. Right now, if it wasn't enough that we had Rabbi Ushai and Rabbi Yonatan, we have a third position, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Shimon Elazar says, La'elu u'la'elu nitchalka aretz. To both, the land was divided up. The land was divided up both amongst the census of Yotzei Mitzrayim, as well as the census in Parashat Pinchas. That means that you would take the sum total of the two sensei, and then you would add them together and divide up the land amongst both of those sensei. Kedei l'kayim shnei mikrot, talalu, in order to fulfill both psukim. Ha'keitzad. What's the possibility? Yeah, Yotzei Mitzrayim, notel chokoim Yotzei Mitzrayim. See, amongst those that left Mitzrayim, he'll get a portion there. Hayami baye aretz. If he was amongst those that entered the land, notel chokoim baye aretz. Mikan umikan. If he's from both of those, notel chokoim mikan ukan. He gets portion in both situations. All right, let's take it piece by piece. First of all, the Rashbam says over here that the Mishnah could be authored by Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So that's important because I said before, when the Gemara started out, it said, Tnan, Kaman Damar, Yotzei Mitzrayim, Nilchalka Aretz. Our Mishnah follows the opinion that the land was divided amongst those that left Mitzrayim. There are two opinions here that say that. That's Rabbi Hoshaya and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. According to either one of those opinions, you could fit into our Mishnah, and that's why the Gemara said it's Stam. It didn't say, oh, our Mishnah is Rabbi Hoshaya, because it doesn't have to be Rabbi Hoshaya. It could also be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So that's the first thing. The second thing is trying to figure out what the last line in Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's opinion means. He says that if you are here and there, you get two portions. The Rashbam brings an opinion which he rejects and says that it's impossible. The way that people read it, many people read it, was one individual could inherit both in the first census and in the second census, or in other sense, they could get two portions. If they were alive when they left Mitzrayim, and they were alive when they came into the Aretz, they would get a portion amongst those that left Mitzrayim, and a portion amongst those that nichlasim la'aretz. The Rashbam rejects that because it's an impossibility. If you were over the age of 20 when you left Mitzrayim to be included in that census, then you're also included under the gzeirat ha-miraglim to die in the Midbar. And therefore you would not make it into the Ba'ei Haaretz. Because it says specifically in the census of Pinchas that when they take the census, there is no one in the census of Pinchas that was alive at the time of the census of Moshe at the beginning of Midbar. So the census itself specifically states that it does not include anyone from the first census. Eile pekudei Moshe v'lazar ha-kohen esher paktu et b'nei Yisrael b'arvot Moav ha-yarden yerecho u'be'eile lo ya'ish mipekudei Moshe v'aron ha-kohen. There is nobody from the first census that is in the second census. So the Pasuk tells you there are only two people who make it through both sensei, that is Yoshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefuneh. That means that there's nobody who could have been in both cases. Given that, it would be impossible to have someone who was both in the first census and in the second census. And that's why the Rashbam rejects that explanation. For that reason, the Rashbam says that it's talking about not one individual, but an individual whose father was over the age of 20 when he left Mitzrayim, and he's over the age of 20 when he's Nichnas Aretz. That's how he gets a double portion. He himself will collect a portion out of Baye Aretz, and he will inherit his father's portion from Yotzei Mitzrayim. So that's the way that the Rashbam explains it, because he thinks that the other way is a impossibility. The Baal Yei Tosafot say, Badam Echad Ari. Talking about one person. And it's proven, he says, by the Tosefta that's brought by the Rashbam. The Rashbam brings a Tosefta, which sounds like it was one person. Says, they got three portions of land. They were the people who left the land of Mitzrayim. They were in the center around in Moab, the time that they entered the land. And they also took the portion of the Meraglim. And he says, V'teima, Dim Ken Yoshua B'Kalev, Machmat Biat Aretz Nimnu B'Arvot Moav. That means that Yoshua and Kalev were amongst the census that was taken in the Pinchas, going over Moav, V'Aktiv Le'ela T'Chalek Aretz, Vim Ken, B'Arvot Moav Nimnu Yeterim Ibnei Samach. That means that they were counting people over the age of 60 in the second census, which he says that clearly for Yoshua, if it's over the age of 60, that Yoshua Yeh Ben Me'av Eser, he was 110 when he passed away, and he only ruled over Bnei Yisrael, meaning he was a leader for 28 years. That means he's clearly over the age of 60. Kalev says that I'm 80 years old. When they enter into the land of Israel in Yoshua, he says I'm 80 years old today. He says I was 40 when the Meraglim went into Eretz Yisrael. So it means that if he's 40 then he's at least 80 at the end of the Midbar. So they're both over the age of 60. So now, that makes it difficult, because we said the census is from 20 to 60. So he says, Umindim nu baravot moav yitirim b'bnei samach, imnu kokain b'midbar sinai. So Bali Tosafot, instead of saying that, oh, just like the census before was 20 to 60, so for this census was 20 to 60. He says, no. The census is 20 and over, period. Now, there is a Gemara that connects it between this and Arachim. Where Arachim go from the age of 20 to 60, there is a graduation. There's one over 60, but their main age bracket is 20 to 60. And they draw a hekesh between Arachim and the census over here, saying that the ages are from 20 to 60. And for that reason, some want to reject this whole view of the Bali HaTosafot, because that hekesh says that it's only between the ages of 20 and 60. On the other hand, the Bali HaTosafot say that our Gemara is not following that view that brings the hekesh between Arachim and the census, at least not with regards to who was included in the census. It might have impact in terms of who was punished for the Chet HaMeraglim, but as far as the census is concerned, it doesn't have impact, but rather our Gemara is following the Tosefta. So Bali Tosafot prove it from the fact that Kalev and Yoshua are mentioning that Tosefta, that they got Gimel Chalakim, and since Yoshua and Kalev were both over the age of 60 at the second census, from there they prove that the census included people even over the age of 60, and they got a portion in the first census and then a portion in the second census. And that's how they resolve the possibility of someone having a portion in both censi, because in that way, you have people that are over 60 in the first census, and you have people that are over 60 in the second census. That's how you're going to get people who are in both censi. And he brings examples. For instance, people like Ya'ir ben Menashe, Umachir ben Menashe. These are children of Menashe, who clearly are over 60 when they leave Mitzrayim, and they're mentioned amongst those that conquered the land of Israel and took portions in the land of Israel, even though they were over 60. So they must have inherited, because they were counted amongst the census in the beginning and the census at the end. And that's how the Bali Tosafot overcome the Rashbam's problem. The Rashbam's problem is everybody died. He says, well, you're limiting it to 2260. If you allow people over 60 to be counted in the census, then it would be true. So then, what do you do with the pasuk at the end of the census in Pinchas that says there was nobody in the second census that was in the first census? Now you're telling me there were people. So he says, "V'nir l'Rashba, the Rosh Mishan says, 'Achi kamar kraw be'elo lo ya'ish mipkudei Moshe Aron, she'iruim tigzar lehem gzeirah.'" There were only people who died were the people who were between the age of 20 and 60. Gzerat HaMeraglim was only on those between those ages of 20 and 60. Now, given that, when it comes to the census of Moshe, there's nobody subject to the Gzerat of the Meraglim that was in the first census that now is in the second census. So they narrow the scope of the statement, even though the census includes a larger number of people. So for us, normally we would say that the census is 20 to 60. Over here, the Tosafot breaks the upper limit and says it's 20 and up. 20 and up then, 20 and up now. The pasuk that says nobody's alive is speaking about nobody who died because of the Gzerat HaMeraglim, which means people between the age of 20 and 60 that were in the first census were included in the second census. Now, the continuation of this statement, so you can either say that is the end of the statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, or you could say it's the opinion of Rabbi Yoshaya that the Arz was Nitchalka LeYotzei Mitzrayim. Meraglim, Yoshua, V'Kalev, Natlu Chalkam. When it comes to the Meraglim, even though they had children who possibly entered into the land of Israel, they nevertheless do not get their portion of their fathers who had left Mitzrayim. So that's either according to the one who says that it was Nitchalka Liyotzei Mitzrayim, or according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says that it was Nitchalka to both. Those individuals do not get their father's portion in the land, because it was given to Yoshua v'Kalev Natlu Chalkam. Yeshua and Kalev got their portion. The Gemara will learn that upcoming in tomorrow's daf, how we know that Yeshua and Kalev got the portion of the other Meraglim. Mitlo Nenim Vadat Korach. The complainers, which the Gemara will discuss, who are these Mitlonanim, and those from Adat Korach, lo yalem chelik baretz. They didn't get a chelik in the arts whatsoever. So that means that their land was confiscated and then redistributed amongst all of Klal Yisrael, anybody who was a Yotzei Mitzrayim. Habanim natlu b'schut avi avien u'b'schut avi imonotem. So then if they have children that entered into the land, then what do you do about the fact that they're not going to get any land now? They're children of the Adad Korach. They're children of the Mitlonanim. They're not entitled to any possession, not entitled to any property. The answer is, yes, they won't get from their fathers, but they will get from their grandfathers. Whether it's their paternal grandfather or maternal grandfather, if she's the only inheritor of it, they do have access to the land. That assumes, again, that their grandfather was me amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And therefore, even though they may not get for their fathers, they will get for their grandfathers. If they don't have a grandfather that's Yotzei Mitzrayim, and they lost from their fathers, there will be a possibility that they will not get a Yerusha in the land. My mashma, dahai lishmot matot avutam Yotzei Mitzrayim tiv. Until now, the Gemara has assumed that you have two psukim, one pasuk la'ela techalek et aretz, which is from the census in Pinchas. That's pretty clear. That's the Pashtut Pasuk. And then the other Pasuk that says that he divided amongst the Shmot Matot Avutam, according to the names of the Shvatim of their fathers. How do you know that that's speaking about the Yotzei Mitzrayim? We took that for granted, that that was the case, that they were amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim. All the opinions said that. Rabbi Yoshaya and Rabbi Shimon Elazar took it literally and said that it was divided amongst those that left Mitzrayim. Even Rami Yonatan, who says that it was divided amongst Bayaretz, still says the Shmot Matot Avutam goes back to those that left Mitzrayim. We redivide it based on those that left Mitzrayim. How do you know that? Dilma, the Shvatim Kamarla. It sounds like, and that seems to be the Pashtut Pasuk, is the Shmot Matot Avutam is you divide it amongst the Shvatim. That's maybe what it means, simply that we divide it up amongst, or according to the Shvatim. The answer of the Gemara is, Dichtiv, Benatati Ota Lachem Morasha, Ani Hashem. When Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says he's going to bring the people of Israel into Eretz Israel, and I will give them the land, v'natati oto lechem, to you, Marasha Ani Hashem. He's speaking to Moshe about the people who are going to be the Yotzei Mitzrayim. He says, to you I'm going to give the land. So you see over there that Hashem already preemptively said that the people left Mitzrayim are the entitled parties to the land of Israel. And so that's why they take the Shmot Mot Avutam to mean those that left Mitzrayim, because that was the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that those that left Mitzrayim would be the inheritors of the land. And that is what it means. Yerusha hi lachem me'avotechem. Uyotzei Mitzrayim kamarlu says, it's a Yerusha to you from your fathers. And he's speaking to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. He's saying that directly to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So you see that the Matei Avot references to those that left Mitzrayim, because he's saying that I'm giving it to you as an inheritance from your forefathers, but you are going to be the ones who actually take possession of it. You're going to be the ones who are machzik in the property. So yes, you got it because you are descendants of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but you are going to be the ones who get it. You're going to be the ones who are machzik in it. And then it'll be distributed to the Ba'ei Haaretz. That's why this explanation is somewhat compelling, because according to the original plan, the people who were Yotzei Mitzrayim were going to be the Ba'ei Haaretz, and there would have been no differentiation. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense, even though to us it seems ridiculous. Why should the Yotzei Mitzrayim be the ones who divide up the land? The answer is that they were supposed to be the Ba'ei Haaretz. There was a little problem along the way that caused them not to do that. But had they been okay and things had gone as planned, they would have been the Yotzei Mitzrayim and the Ba'ei Haaretz, and therefore it makes sense that they inherit the land. Later on, it's postponed, and their children are the Bayaretz. But the fact that we're dividing it amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim makes a lot of sense, because they're about to enter into the land of Israel. The census in the beginning of Bamidbar is a census getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's a census for Ashrat HaShchinah. It's a census for Milchama. It's a census for entering and dividing in the land of Israel. So that census, the purpose of that census was exactly that, to divide up the land. They run into difficulties along the way that ends up they don't get into Eretz Yisrael. But if that was the plan, then the Chalukat Aretz to them makes a lot of sense. And therefore, they're saying the Shmeut Motot Avotam is not a far-fetched concept, that it was the Yotzei Mitzrayim that were the ones who really divided up the land. Right, so now we'll do one of the questions, then we'll leave the rest for tomorrow's daf. The questions are going to be asked in the different opinions. We'll start with the first question, which is Amalei Popla Bayit. Bishlam Alamanda Amar Yotzei Mitzrayim Nitchal Ka'aret. According to the one who says that amongst those that left Mitzrayim, the land was divided. Hayne Dichtiv. That's why it says in the Pasuk, Rav Tarbe Nachloto, Lama'at Tamit Nachloto. To the one who has many, he'll get more. To the one who has less, he will get less. Now, if you are talking about the Ba'ei Aretz, those that are coming into the land, then of course, you're dividing it up amongst the number of people there. So if you have more numbers, you get more. You have less numbers, you get less. It's all about the number of people that are standing there. Everybody gets an equal portion. Can't talk about more or less. The way that Rashbam says it, you should have said, chelek kachelek, that they will get a portion like a portion. Each person gets their portion, and that's it. When does Rav Tarbeh and the Ma'atamit more or less have impact? That is if you say it was divided amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So in that situation, if you had Yotzei Mitzrayim who had 10 individuals, 10 family members leaving Mitzrayim, but by the time they're going to Eretz Yisrael, there are only 5 family members, then those 5 family members inherit the property of 10. So they'll each get 2 portions. On the other hand, if it's the reverse, if you have someone who left Mitzrayim with 5, and now they're entering into the land of Israel with 10, then each inheritor will only get a half a portion rather than a whole portion. So that what it means, l'rab tarbeh, l'ma'at tamit. So you can understand, if you're dividing it up amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim, you can have a possibility where people are getting bigger and smaller portions, because it's not dependent on their numbers going into Eretz Yisrael, it's dependent on the numbers of Yotzei Mitzrayim. And if those numbers changed between the time they left Mitzrayim to the time they entered in Eretz Yisrael, then you will have a case where some people's portion will be larger than the baseline, and some will be less than baseline, depending on the difference of numbers from Yotzei Mitzrayim to the Nichnasim Laaretz. But according to one who says it's Mibayei Aretz, the division is the division. Everybody gets a portion. There's no difference in the portions because everybody gets the same size portion. Ela lemanda amar lebayei aretz, mayla rab tarbu nachlato kashu. It's a difficulty. The girsa that we have in front of us is the girsa of the Rashbam. The Rashbam didn't like the girsa that was in the Gemara, which is defended by the Balei Tosafot, and is the girsa that almost everybody had before the Rashbam came along and changed the girsa. The way that the old girsa read was, Hainu Yachtiv ben Rav Dama'at. Now the Rashbam didn't like this girsa, because the Gemara in the end does have something to darshan from it. What does it mean, Rav and Ma'at? The Gemara is going to tell you later on, the Eretz Yisrael Shvatim Itpalugu. That Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the Shvatim. Shlaku kol Shvatim ze kaze, api agoral, shevet amuat kimeruba. That according to this opinion, the way that it was divided up was that you had Shvatim, and each Shevet got an equal portion in the land. That means a Shevet with a large population, that population would get less, or would get portions that are smaller. If you have a Shevet who has a small number of individuals, they're getting the same size as the Shevet with a smaller portion. Now that means that the individuals in that Shevet will get larger portions. So even according to the one who says it's divided amongst Bayei Aretz, it is divided up, or the Goral divides it up amongst the Shvatim. Given that it's divided amongst the Shvatim, now I can understand what's the difference between Ben Ra'av Lema'at. Between the bigger and smaller, it's defined by your Shevet. There is a way to explain the Rav and the Ma'at, because the Rav and the Ma'at are based on the fact that each Shevet is getting the same portion. And if that's the case, then Shvatim with larger populations are going to get smaller portions. Those with smaller populations are going to get larger portions. So there is an explanation of it. We also know that according to the monetary value of the land. So even though people got larger tracts, the tracts were not determined by quantitative size or physical size. They had to do with the value of the property. So if you have higher value property, you're going to get a smaller portion. You get lower value property, you're going to get a larger portion. So there is a reason to divide between Ra'av and Ma'at. And so based on that, he does not think that that is a question. And rather, the question is, Aval mil Ra'av tarbe nachlato mashkshe. The psukim have 2 points. says, Apia Goral Techalek Nachalato. According to the Goral, they'll divide up the land. Ben Rav Lima'at. Whether you're big or small. So now, whether you're big or small, according to the one who says that it was going to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, that makes sense. Because the numbers of the Bayit Haaretz would be different than the Yotzei Mitzrayim. On the other hand, for the one who says it's going according to the Bayit Haaretz, what does it mean, Ben Rav Lima'at? That was the original Girsa. The Rashbam says, I don't need that. Ben Rav Lima'at, I have other drashot for that. One is that the Shvatim got equal divisions of property. Number two is that the Shvatim divided up based on the monetary value, not the physical size of the property. So Ben Rav Lima'at, I have an understanding of that. The problem is the pasuk before, which says, L'rav tarbe nachalato, v'lma'at tamit nachalato. What do I do with that pasuk? And therefore, he changes the girsa from Ben Rav Lima'at to the Rav Tarbe Nachlato, to say the question derives from that. How do you have someone with a bigger portion or a smaller portion? If the portions are all of equal size because it's given out to the Bayei Haaretz, then there's nothing to discuss. Because that pasuk that says, the Rav Tarbe Nachlato, the Ma Tamit Nachlato, Ish Lefi Pekudav Yuta Nachlato, Ach Begora Yechalek Et Haaretz Lishmot Matot Avotam In Chalu. So the Rashbam says that that is connected to Shmot Matot Avotam, seems to reference that the Yotzei Mitzrayim had some impact on the fact that some people got more and some people got less. And that's only true according to the one who says that it was divided up amongst those that were Yotzei Mitzrayim. Now, you could argue that the one who says that it's Bayaret still sends it back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim and redivides it that way. Rashbam says that's not a good solution to the problem because we already have a pasuk that tells you that. The Shmot Matot Avotam tells you that din of taking it backwards. So then what are you going to do with the Rabab Tarbet Nachlato, the Matamit Nachlato? What additional information is that giving you? The Baal Yeh Tosfot in defense of the original Girsa say that the Gemara did not anticipate yet or does not know the answer of Ben Rav Lima'at that the Shvatim divided equally. And so that is already something where you're jumping ahead. You're looking ahead about a drasha that the Gemara is not aware of yet. Since the Gemara is not aware of that drasha at this point, it's a problem on Bein Rav Lima'at is also a problem. Later on, you could answer that problem by saying, it was divided amongst the Shvatim that way. And then, of course, you'd have the problem of the Rashbam still, which is the Rav Tarbeh, the Lima'at Tamit. And one of their main arguments on the Rashbam is the fact that the Rav Tarbeh Nachlato, the Lima'at Tamit Nachlato, could be taken at face value. Who says it's talking about the Yotzei Mitzrayim? It could be equally speaking about Ve'ela Techaleka Daretz, that amongst those that left the land, you are going to divide up the land. And the Shmot Mot Avodam tells you about the redivision based on Yotzei Mitzrayim. But the Rav Tarbeh Nachlato V'Mat Tamit Nachlato could easily be speaking about those that are in the census in Pinchas. And given that, they favor the original Girsa, which is Ma Ben Ra'av B'Ma'at. How do you explain Ben Ra'av B'Ma'at? And the explanation that he gives is that if you have two brothers that are Yotzei Mitzrayim, and they have 10 children in the Bayei Haaretz, and then you have another two brothers that have two children in the Bayei Haaretz, then the 10 children between those two brothers will only take a portion that's equal to the two children of the other two brothers, because they will divide it up amongst them based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So the Yotzei Mitzrayim, you have four individuals that are the Yotzei Mitzrayim then. They take each a portion. The two brothers that have 10 children, me by Aretz, those two portions now will be divided amongst those 10 children. And they'll each get 20% of a portion. Whereas the two brothers who left Mitzrayim, will each get a portion each. And they have two sons between them. Each one of those children will get a full chelek in the Nichnasei Aretz. So that's Ben Rav Lima'at, according to the one who says Yotzei Mitzrayim.
Irrespective of your size, you're still going to get the same portion. So the 10 are going to get two portions, and the 2 are going to get two portions.
But according to one who says the Bayei La'aretz, the 10 children are going to get 10 portions, and the 2 children are going to get 2 portions, and they'll all be equal size and equal portion. And even when they return it to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, it won't matter. You have these 10 children, they return it to the two fathers, they'll redistribute it to the 10, and they'll still have 10 portions. And the two brothers that have two children, those two children return it to their fathers and take it again on the leash, get a whole portion. So over there, there's no difference in size of portion.
then ben rav ma'at doesn't make sense. There is a difference between those that have more and those that have less. The one with 10 children gets 10 portions. The one with 2 children only gets 2 portions. So that's how the Baal HaTosafot deal with it. The Gemara ends off with kasha. The way that the Rashbam reads it, the didan kasha. We are left in perplexed because we don't know how to answer on behalf of this Tana what we should do with the Pasuk. That doesn't mean there's no answer. It just means that we don't know how to explain it and we don't know what to say on his behalf in this situation. We're going to stop here 2 lines down on the top of Kuf Yud Chet Amud Aleph.